This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace to you. I pray this finds you well and blessed. Welcome back to my series on Islamic heritage, kicking off here in Istanbul yet again, subhanAllah, because we have a leader today that we're going to be finding out about. And just reading about him makes you realize that he embodied all of the areas of a great Islamic leader. The biggest of these being Adala. Yes, justice. He reigned over a golden era of the Ottoman Caliphate. His name, given to him, by the way, by the enemies of Islam, Suleiman the Magnificent. It's really interesting that this period of Islamic history was ruled over by a man named after King Suleiman or Solomon in the Holy Quran. And of course, Solomon was known for what? For justice. This 46-year period of Islamic history is seen as the longest period of perfection of Islamic justice. SubhanAllah. Wow. Just wow. So when the leaders and the popes built Hagia Sophia, they commissioned it. It was said that they boasted that they'd outdone King Solomon from the Bible because Hagia Sophia was so magnificent. And so when Suleiman the Magnificent, or the lawgiver as he was known to the people who lived under him, commissioned buildings like this, which had courts and bars and gardens and places to eat for the poor, he said that in doing these projects, he had restored the honor of Suleiman. The trees around here, hear that? They're filled with weird birds like parrots and parakeets, and that's because the Ottomans had a tradition of selling birds for cages, yes. They also had a tradition where pious people would come to the markets and they would buy the birds and then just let them go into the trees. So one of the things you'll notice about Istanbul is strange squawks and screeches from tropical areas, that's why. You know what's amazing is that Allah Ta'ala, in His wisdom, brought together a man of vision and a man of action, a man of practicality and a man of ideas. We've got Suleiman the Magnificent, the lawgiver, with all of that power and wealth and the ideas for expanding the law of Allah across the world. And you've got, at the same time, Mimar Sinan, this, I mean, incredible architect, known for perfecting insurmountable, right, unimaginable, insurmountable engineering ideas. Problems that nobody else could have done. No computer, writing it down, thinking about it, testing the air, divine intervention, divine ideas, inspiration coming to this man. So I always wonder, how on earth did they get those huge domes up, all right? There's been TV programs where they try to replicate it, building bridges like the Romans did, and they can never do it. But there was a technique. And you see that lovely little dome archway over there. Okay, so it's got the central dome and a couple of smaller ones coming off it. It's kind of, it's a bit like a miniature of the main mosque. Well, that's exactly what Mimar Sinan Rahimullah did. He built this first to test his mathematical ideas. And that is itqan. That is the ideal from Islam of doing things to the highest standard. And we should all be aiming at that. That idea, the ihsan, the perfection of whatever we do. Ya Rab. You see that writing above the main entrance. Focus now on the writing. I know it's all amazing. We'll come back to that. Right, but that writing on the red background. I just want you to think about how we're meant to be people of intention and inspiration as Muslims. Because this right here, this is a charter for success. This is a charter for stating your goals, right? We're all goal setting. Listen to this. Sultan Suleiman has drawn near to God, the Lord of majesty and omnipotence, the creator of the world of dominion and sovereignty. Sultan Suleiman, who is his slave, made mighty with divine power, the caliph, resplendent with divine glory, who performs the command of the hidden book and executes its decrees in all regions of the inhabited quarter, conqueror of the lands of the Orient and the Occident, with the help of Almighty God and his victorious army, possessor of the kingdoms of the world, shadow of God over all peoples, Sultan of the Sultans of the Arabs and the Persians, promulgator of Sultanic Qanuns, 10th of the Ottoman Khans, Sultan, son of the Sultan, Sultan Suleiman Khan, may the line of his sultanate endure until the end of the line of the ages. You know what? I get asked a lot, why are so many European people, Americans too, Australians, flocking to Istanbul to live here? And as an artist myself, a writer and an actor brought up in an artistic environment, I can tell you with absolute certainty that it is the beauty that lies on every corner. It is the arts, it's the calligraphy, it's the paintings, it's the structures. And these had their roots in the reign of Solomon the Magnificent, the lawgiver. Because, subhanAllah, you talk about a vision for society that isn't materialistic, right? It's artistic, it's spiritual at its roots. He founded special organizations for the arts. They started off with 40, you might call them guild, where people could specialize in calligraphy, in creativity there, in poetry, in architecture. And 50, 60 years later on, there were 2,000 organizations, which really are alive today in the structures that we see in Istanbul. Allahu Akbar, we have to nurture the arts. We have to look after the arts. It's the soul of a society. First time I came in here, I cried. This is to me the most spiritual mosque in Istanbul that I've been to. And I see non-Muslims coming here day out from Poland, from Italy, from Russia. And there is a moment, you know, it's almost like you want to catch them when they fall. There is so much peace and beauty in here that, I don't know, it's just wow. It's just a couple of really wonderful facts about the building here, which you're seeing. It's quite simplistic, actually. It's not brassy or flashy, and it has the kind of windows that they used to have in churches, so that stained glass was pulled across. But more than 3,000 craftsmen of the highest degree worked on this, which is considered the most magnificent yet simplistic mosque in the whole of Istanbul. And if you come here, you mustn't miss out on it. This breeze is lovely, you know. The designer really knew about where to place things, where the windows come, where the air comes through. It's amazing. While the Europeans called him the Magnificent, the Ottomans called him Kanuni, or the Lawgiver. Suleiman was acknowledged as such for having freed thousands of Persian and Egyptian slaves, giving justice to those who were wronged by his predecessors, ending discrimination against Jews and Christians until there was a flux of migration into the empire. He punished corruption and law breakers as well as codifying the Ottoman Kanun within the Islamic Sharia, and this would serve the Ottoman Empire for longer than 300 years. So Sultan Suleiman was a warrior who pushed back the impositions of European warlords into the territories of the Muslims, but he was also a poet. He wrote in Turkish, Persian, and Arabic. The people think of wealth and power as the greatest fate, but in this world, a spell of health is the best state. What men call sovereignty is a worldly strife and constant war. Worship of God is the highest throne and happiest of all estates. Sultan Suleiman and his beloved wife Hürrem were interested in all the people in the different realms of the Ottoman Empire, and especially it seems one area in particular had their hearts, Jerusalem. She, from her own endowment, her own money, built a mosque in the old city of Jerusalem. And around it, she made sure that there was a 55-room lodge for pilgrims to Al-Aqsa, mashallah. And there was a granary for milling grain so that the people had bread, and even kitchens and stables and so much more. And she wasn't on her own. Her husband requested and made sure that the Dome of the Rock was completely refurbished, and he took care of the city walls as well. Subhanallah. He took his whole role, actually, as guardian of the three major mosques of Islam very seriously. And in Mecca, during his lifetime, all of the minarets were completely redone, and a seventh was added to the main mosque, subhanAllah. And inside the mosques of Mecca and Medina, candles were donated so people could pray in the night. And even musk and even oud was donated for the beautification and the smells of those wonderful areas of prayer, subhanAllah. But you know what I really love? I really love the fact that he built kitchens for the poor in both Mecca and Medina. And who did he donate that rizq to, that barakah? His beloved wife. In other words, he said, oh Allah, all of the mouths that are fed from the kitchens in Mecca and Medina, from the pilgrims and the poor, please put them on my wife's account on Yawm al-Qiyam. Now that is what you call a Muslim husband. It is a testimony to Sultan Suleiman's fatherhood and philanthropic legacy that his daughter, Mihrimah Sultana, followed in his footsteps. She found out that the water channels of Mecca had disintegrated. These channels were originally endowed by Harun al-Rashid's wife, Zubaydah. Mihrimah went to her father with all of her precious jewels in her hand to ask for Mimar Sinan to be sent on an urgent mission to restore the waters of Mecca. Although the architect had only just finished laying the foundations for the Suleymaniye Mosque, he mysteriously disappeared. It was presumed that he had abandoned the project. It was only discovered much later that the water channels, which ran in the name to this day of Ain Zubaydah, were secretly restored by none other than Mihrimah Sultana. Right, that's it for today. I hope you've enjoyed following me to learn all about the legacy of Suleiman the Magnificent back then and now. And I'm reading all your comments, so keep them coming. They're really boosting me along to make more in this series. And if you're enjoying it, don't forget to subscribe to the channel. Assalamu alaikum.